Hello and welcome to another edition of the Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? How are things? Huh? Doing well? It's great. It's the last podcast of my 35th year. Next week, I will be 36. Legit. Who's excited? Me neither. This week, we'll talk about the Maryland Black Bears' last weekend of the regular season and of their inaugural season as well. We'll talk some teams from Maryland who went to Nationals. And we'll also talk about players. The players. But first, before we get started, this is a topic that needs to be broached. This is a topic that needs to be spoken upon, rightly or wrongly, one way or another. There was some shenanigans that happened after Sunday's game. Sunday game, or Saturday's game, rather. And we'll get to that in a second. The announcer of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Knights, Andrew Mossbrooks, described, and I saw this too in the video, things being thrown on the ice as the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Knights celebrated. Came from a section that was put online by the Maryland Black Bears of where the billets and fans and things like that caravaned up there. Whether rightly or wrongly, I accused Maryland Black Bears fan base, and from what I saw, maybe somebody there roguely did something, because I know the fans are great. The fans, even in Piney Orchard, didn't do anything like that when there was stuff going down against the Black Bears. But if there is somebody in the Maryland Black Bears family who did throw something on the ice, not cool. Not cool. And that goes for anybody. If it was a Knights fan who was throwing stuff at their team, dumb. And then something got thrown up against the glass. Again, you could see it on the video on Hockey TV. Not cool. So if it was someone in that section who was a Wilkes-Barre Scranton Knights fan trying to get the Maryland fans in trouble, then that's a douchebag move. But I from what Mossbrook said and what I saw, I deduced it was a Maryland fan. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Then I apologize for that. Obviously, I know the whole group of people there are good people. But again, that whole adage about one apple spoiling a whole bunch. So I don't want that to be grouped in with anybody. But seeing what I see, reporting what I report, there's that. I want to get that out of the way first because it was a little bit of a hot topic after Saturday's game. And very little hot topic, more like a hot pocket of things after the game. So we get to that weekend that was the last weekend of the regular season for the Maryland Black Bears in their inaugural season. Not great, Bob. Not great. Friday night, especially not great, as 8-1 the final for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Knights. Luke Posner, the only goal. Started off really rough. Joey Vakerke, a minute and a half in, sneaking down from the far side, getting a pass from Tyrone Bronte, going in that net, and that was that. Jake Fuss later, about 3:10 later, gets his 16th of the season. Jordan Strand on the assist there. Shot in front, tipped down, and away it went. Luke Posner, halfway through the period, 9:48 into the period. He got his 7th of the season. Lucas Youngblom with his 10th assist. Sean Henry, the president of Piney Orchard, with a 3rd assist there. Lovely passing play on that one. And then Posner banking in a rebound from Youngblom. So there's that. And then the floodgates open. Gabe Temple got his 17th, 6 minutes into the second. Then Marcus Cook got his first NAHL goal in the second, halfway through the second. Then with 1 second left, Adrian Danchenko gets his 14th of the season just as time expired. It was 5-1 at that point. Then Jake Fuss again. That would be his second goal of the night. Danchenko, Beck Moore on the assist. Gabe Temple, his second of the night. 18th of the season. And Jake Fuss finished out the hat trick all within 5 minutes. Not a great time. Overall, Anthony Del Tuvo with the loss, 19 saves, on 24 shots. David Tomeo comes in relief in the third, 7 saves on 10 shots. Power play worked well. I mean, or rather, penalty kill worked well. 0 for 4 for Wilkes-Barre Scranton, which has been is something that I've been harping against. But defensive turnovers, bad breakouts, bad passes, neutral zone turnovers, just damning for the Black Bears on Friday night. Not much more you can say. That's the long and the short of it. The passes weren't there. The fatigue sets in, maybe looking ahead to just cleaning out the lockers, although I would hope that the boys have a little bit more pride than that to play the game as it says and then worry about it after the final horn. So, you know, there were a lot of guys out there giving their all, but it just got frustration when a pass gets intercepted. You know, when someone tries to escape the zone before the pass gets there, turns it over. Shots getting deflected, shots getting blocked, passes getting blocked, cross net trying to make a play. I mean, that frustration level ramps up, and it's just, you know, us, you know, the world's against you kind of thing. They turn it over quick because it's a Saturday afternoon game, and the Black Bears came out a-firing. Granted, the power play, the penalty kill not as great, but great in a couple spots, and we'll talk about it here. Jake Fuss, just under 5 minutes in, gets his 19th of the season. But then the tides turned a little bit. Then things got interesting. Luke Mountain had a tripping call 17 minutes and 34 seconds into the third period. 10 seconds after that, off the faceoff of Connor Pooley, Max Boris deflects the win forward, past the defenseman, goes in on his own pretty much, shoots it and scores a shorthanded goal, his 7th of the season, Connor Pooley 30th assist of the year. And then just as the penalty was about to expire, a minute 50 in, Lucas Youngbloom. Great play by Marek Wozni to keep the puck in the zone. Great play by Max Boris to rotate the puck around to Lucas Youngbloom. Lucas Youngbloom gets his 7th of the season. Boris with his 11th assist. Wozni his 13th assist. Second period was all Wilkes-Barre Scranton, though. Adrian Danchenko, his 15th of the season. Tyrone Bronte, Evan Orr on the assist there. And then Tyrone Bronte, a power play goal. For himself, his 14th of the year, Evan Orr and Danchenko on the assist. Jake Fuss again, his 2nd of the night on the power play, 3 minutes into the third period, Jordan Strand there. Then Maryland got two back. Marek Wozni, who has been nothing short as spectacular this past few weeks, really upping his game, I think, in a lot of ways. His 7th of the season, Luke Posner, 4th assist, and Luke Salem, his 18th assist on the year. Made it 4-3, and then with the goalie pulled, Luke Mountain, the Cy Young Award winner of your Maryland Black Bears, gets his 18th of the season. Jonathan Young, 26th assist. Luke Salem, his 2nd assist, 2nd apple of the night. Then in overtime, a controversial non-call as David Tomeo gets bowled over during 3-on-3 overtime play. No call on that. Maryland marches down the ice, tries to get sent something up. Puck gets turned over. Zach Curry puts it up to Jordan Strand. Jordan Strand goes in alone, beats Tomeo, does a stupid robo gimmick, and then away they go. That was all she wrote for the season. 5-3, the final, as they begun the series that begun their season, ended in an overtime loss. A series that ended their season ended in an overtime loss. Luke Salem, 2 assists. Marek Wozni, a goal and assist. Max Boris, a goal and an assist. David Tomeo, 36 saves in the game, keeping the Black Bears in it. What can you say? What can you say about this game that hasn't been said before? So there's that. We will do a full year in review next week, audio-wise. This week, I'm trying to get some stuff out on ScottyWaz.com in the written word. Today's thing was about the community that the Black Bears built. So I think that's an important thing. You want to go look at it, go check it out on ScottyWaz.com. How about that? Plugski. But yeah, next week we'll do an overall thing, and now we wait till September. There's you know, development camps going on. There's things like that. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for your hard work, for your effort, for your determination, for everything you've done this season in a tough season. You made the season fun. It was a fun season to follow, and it made this podcast possible to have a team like this and report on it. And also, if you haven't checked out Johnny P's Black and White Season and Review at Home Games, facebook.com/FOHS Radio, that's where the things are. So check that out for yourselves. Move on to the youth scene as the Nationals happened this past weekend in various sites. San Jose, Irvine, California, South Bend, Indiana, probably up in Massachusetts somewhere. A lot of places. But there were four Maryland teams that were in it, as well as there were three Maryland teams in the Nationals, and then Glen Elg High School was in the high school Nationals themselves. But we'll start off with the youth teams. Tier 1, Team Maryland, U16, didn't have a great showing, only because they got pitted against some of the best of the best in youth hockey. Team Maryland went 0-3-0 in their round-robin rounds. They lost to Little Caesars, which is a powerhouse out of Detroit, Shattuck St. Mary's, a powerhouse out of Minnesota, and the St. Louis Blues, a powerhouse out of the Central Division of the NHL. Hold on, what? It's not the NHL. All right, they didn't play the NHL team, but they played the St. Louis Junior Blues, and they lost to them as well. So they got there, didn't have the best of showings, didn't have the best of opponents to go against, but good on the Team Maryland for getting there. Congratulations to Team Maryland. Hopefully next year, better result. The team, I think, will be moving up. I don't know how the – I didn't look at the rosters. So there's that. And the Tier 2 16U, or U16, 3A tier, Howard Huskies. Boy, did they have themselves a tournament. 0-1-2. An overtime loss to Afton, a shootout loss to the Anaheim Junior Ducks, and they lost to Cheektowaga. The overtime and the shootout loss could have went either way, but they had a hell of a display. So shout out to the Huskies, my old bitter rivals. A great showing for them in their tier. The Tri-City Eagles also had a great showing in their Tier 2 U18 team in the 3A tier. Went 2-1-0 with wins over the San Jose Junior Sharks, an overtime win over the South Shore Kings, I believe it is. And then they lost to the Minnesota Moose, who were just wrecking shop over everybody, except for Team Ohio. I think they lost to Team Ohio in the final. They got to the playoffs, Tri-City did, the U18 team, but they lost to the Geneva Cyclones on Sunday. Congratulations to the Tri-City Eagles and getting that far, getting into the playoffs, more than any other Maryland team had done. So something to hang your hat on there. And I mentioned Glen Elg High School. They represented Maryland in the high school Nationals, and they went 0-3-0 with losses to J. Sierra Catholic, Pinnacle Pioneers, and Pine Richland. Pretty cool, though. They got to the Nationals. I can't remember. Not really much made about it. Maybe it should be. Maybe we could turn this around for the Nationals being a big thing. I didn't remember high schools even having Nationals until a few years ago either. So that's me showing my age and ignorance. But there's that. Congratulations to those teams and Nationals. And hopefully you guys can build off of that into next season as well. And the organizations can build off of that as well. Time to end it with the players. Get the players up here. Just a couple here. Like I said, college winding down, pro season, regular season winding down. Eric Sweetman, of the Idaho Steelheads, got called up to the Grand Rapids Griffins for a tryout kind of little thing. He got no points in the two games that he played and got sent back down to Idaho, but probably a good experience for him. Former captain at St. Lawrence University. So a kid from Woodbine, Maryland, which is northwest of Baltimore City, closer to Frederick there. Good for him to get the accolades that he deserves and him winding up and getting higher in the tiers of hockey, as it were. Sam Annis had a decent week. Goal and assist against Tucson on Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively. So big week for him. Again, streaky scorer kind of guy who goes, hot, like I said, hot and cold spells, kind of getting there as we get to the playoffs, maybe turn on a little bit, help the Iowa Wild out down the stretches. The AHL season, it wraps up here, I think, this coming weekend. So that'll be something. And Nick Sorkin got a taste of the AHL, but he's back in Worcester for the Worcester Railers. And boy, did he have himself a week. He had a goal on Wednesday against the Manchester Monarchs, then two assists against Newfoundland on Saturday, and two assists against Adirondack on Sunday for a five-point week for Nick Sorkin. He wants to get back up to that AHL level. He wants to get his points back to where they were when he was with Wheeling. So a little bit hungry, probably a little too late as the ECHL season has wrapped up. And Worcester's on the outside looking in. So heck of a season for Sorkin. Overall, we'll review his season next week. As we all do at the end of the year, guys. And also Jacob Caffrey of the Roanoke Rail Yard Dogs. We missed him last week and a couple weeks, actually. So since the 22nd of March, he's been 3-2-0 with a 2 goals against and a .916 save percentage, which is going to be good as the Rail Yard Dogs are going to be heading in against Peoria, the top team in the SPHL. Their playoffs will start this weekend, and they will go ahead and play a best-of-three and see if they can defeat the Rivermen and maybe pull off an upset. That'd be a huge thing, especially if Caffrey is at the helm of that ship. That's it. That's all. We've done it. It's a quick porch, short porch week because obviously games not going on as they usually. I'll think about what I'm going to be doing in terms of season ending, season finale of the Chesapeake Hockey Week, which will be coming soon as we move forward. So thank you all for listening. Again, rewind and listen to what I said in the beginning of the show. And we'll see what happens there. Thank you for listening. You can follow the show at Chesapeake HW Pod. Follow the show on Facebook at FHS Radio, which is part of the Face Off Hockey Show media faction. And also we have a Patreon, patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. All the money donated there goes back into the show for travel costs, for upgrades, for all kinds of fun stuff. So there's that. So I've been Scotty Wass. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week on Face Off Hockey Show media faction, powered by Blog Talk Radio. The O's are back in town, hon. Chris Davis can't hit a dang thing. It's a good thing he's not a defender. You know, Bo's and O's, hon. Ocean time. Mama Waz went down the ocean this week. It was a good time for her. Got some Waka Fuss candy. Everyone had a great time. I like the nonpareils, but that's, you know, Jen, the NHL history girl. She likes the amarettos, the cordials. I don't get it. It's opposite track. I don't get it either. But you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next week, Daron.